Father, we thank you for our brother. We thank you, Lord, for the word that you've laid upon his heart. We thank you, Lord, for the time that he has spent in your word, and Lord, that he's prepared himself to stand here and deliver your word. Lord, I know he takes this a very serious calling, and we do too. Lord, we pray right now that you would bless this word, that you bless our brother. Father, that you take these words, and Lord, that you'd grind them deep into the deepest recesses of our heart. And Lord, that we would say, Lord, we want to be obedient to this word. Father, encourage us and strengthen us through this word and strengthen our brother. Let your spirit be poured about him in just unlimited measure here today. Father, we ask in Jesus' name, and we all said, amen.
Amen. Amen. So my message today is entitled, Fear Will Not Stop Me. Today I want to share with you how God wants us to overcome fear so he can use us for his glory. Amen? You know, fear is one of the enemy's biggest tools that he uses to try and stop us from fulfilling our potential and reaching our destiny in Christ. You know, the devil uses fear to try and get us to stay right where we're at or to give up. You know, it's okay if you get saved and everything. Just sit down. You're saved now. Sit in your pew. Don't do another thing. Well, guess what? I'm not built like that. I'm not a pew warmer. Right, Bob? Even though my Wolverines lost, I'll be on that starting field. I don't want to sit on that bench. Amen. You know, or the enemy tries to tell us just to give up. Ah, just quit. You know, this is too big. This mountain's too high. This valley's too low. Give up. No, we ain't giving up, right? Till our dying breath. Amen. Fear tells us that we aren't good enough, aren't smart enough, or that we aren't qualified enough to be used by God. Well, guess what? God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. My first scripture here is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 27 through 29. It says, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. You know, I must admit, I was a fool before surrendering my life to the Lord. I was weak and broken, both inside and out. And I was filled with fear and anxiety. Anybody been there? In other words, the devil had me right where he wanted me. But guess what? My God had a plan. Isaiah 41:13 says this, for I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Whatever fearful situation you may find yourself in today, just remember the words God spoke. Do not fear, I will be with you. Real simple, right? Maybe God is telling you to share your faith more. Maybe you got a bad report from the doctors. Maybe you just bought your first home like my daughter and son-in-law and they're scared. Instead of being overcome by fear, decide this day to trust God. And that's what I told my daughter when they bought the house. She goes, Dad, I'm scared, I'm this and that. And God gave me that word. He says, trust me. And I told Alex, I said, just trust him. You know, he's not going to bless you with this house, and you won't be able to afford to pay for it. Right, Bob? Right, Esther? We can attest to that. Woo! He knows your circumstances, and he'll help you. You know, in the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul tells us to be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. He goes on to say to put on the full armor of God so we could stand against the devil's schemes. And one of those schemes definitely includes fear. So I make that a daily prayer practice to remind myself that God has my back. You know, every morning I pray that prayer, you know, Lord, I know I have this armor on, you know, to just help me through this day, dear God, whatever comes against me. So as I'm driving to work yesterday morning, I'm getting on the freeway, and there's this humongous semi. And I'm just ready to pray on that spiritual armor. And then a big red semi-truck with big, bold black letters all alongside of his 60-foot truck said this, body armor. I thought, gee, what a coincidence. I'm about to pray on the spiritual armor, make sure I got everything ready for the day. It's true, I can't make this stuff up. You know, and while a soldier needs body armor, a soldier of the Lord needs that spiritual armor. So we put on that spiritual armor to protect us. Number one, we put on the belt of truth. Because the truth is, no matter what fear we may face today, God will give you the courage to overcome it. Number two, we put on the breastplate of righteousness because our trust is in Jesus as Lord and Savior, and we're covered in His righteousness. It's not because we're so wonderful. Amen? Number three, we put on the shoes of peace because no matter what the enemy throws at us, we'll be ready to walk in God's peace. Some days are worse than others. Number four, we put on the shield of faith because faith in God overcomes fear. Number five, we put on the helmet of salvation because no matter what happens, He bought us with a price. And when the sands and the hourglass run out, our reward will be that of soldiers of God, that we get to spend eternity with our Lord and Savior. Our ultimate reward. And last, but surely not least, number six, we put on the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, so we can refute every fearful lie the enemy tries to throw at us. When he says you're not good enough, the Word says I am good enough. When he says he hates you, everybody hates you, God loves me. Amen? You know, Apostle Paul concludes the book of Ephesians by asking the believers to pray for him, to declare the gospel of our Lord fearlessly, as he should. So even Paul was facing some fear there. He said, you know what, pray that I have the courage and the strength, because the people he was preaching to, it wasn't a friendly crowd like you guys many times. Amen. Well, some of you are friendly. The Bible is filled with many, many scriptures to help us overcome fear. One good place to look when you're facing fear is the book of Psalms. Psalm 27:1 says this, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid?" We all know Psalm 23:4. We always repeat it at funerals. I like the New American Standard. It says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." You might be thinking, well, that was King David talking there. You know, he was a mighty man of God, Brian. You're right, he was. But guess what? So are you, a mighty man or mighty woman of God, who've given your life to Jesus Christ. You might not see yourself like that, but God does. And if God be for you, who can stand against you? You know, it's true that David as a young teen conquered Goliath. We all know the story. But I'm sure David had to feel some amount of fear before he faced Goliath. I'm going to turn to me with 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45 through 47. It says, "David said to the Philistine, 'You come against me with the sword and the spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I'll give you the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. And He will give all of you into our hands. The battle is the Lord's." Now, God does not want you to walk in fear. He wants to give you the victory over fear, like David did when he did this one simple thing. He trusted God. When he went up against Goliath, he wasn't going in his own strength. He trusted the Lord thy God. He said that the Lord will deliver you into my hands. He didn't say, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to do that. It said, the Lord. Jesus in John 14, 27 says this. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Jesus talked a lot about fear and overcoming fear. Why? Because he knows that's one of the enemy's biggest tools to stop us. That fear. If you get gripped with fear, you're paralyzed. But 2 Timothy 1:7 says this. I like the NLT. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but a power, love, and self-discipline. That spirit of fear ain't from God. Instead of surrendering to fear, we need to surrender to God. James 4, 7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil. Resist that fear he tries to put on you. And he will flee from you. I truly believe that once we get past that mountain of fear in our own lives, God has a great adventure just waiting for us. You know, I once had a mountain of fear in my life. It's true. This mountain stood 420 feet tall. It was big, fast, loud, scary looking, really scary. The speed to get to the top of this mountain was 123 miles an hour. The intimidation this mountain exuded had stopped me the previous year from even attempting to conquer it. So I got a 1-minute video I'd like to show you of this mountain. Full screen. Dragster from Cedar Point. And if you know me, you know I love coasters, but I always get a little intimidated when they have a new one. You know, Ronnie, they build them just a little bigger, a little faster. So I knew the year before I was too scared my wife rode it, but I didn't. I mean, come on. Really? But not this day. This day, I conquered that fear. And guess what? Right before the ride was starting, you back up just a few feet. And I knew it was going to start. They're going to do the lights, boom, 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 and you go. I threw my hands up in the air, looked over at my wife. I said, I'm not going to let the devil get me down. And the whole ride, the whole 18 seconds of sheer terror and surprising fun at the same time was just incredible. And I loved every second of it. You know, you want some excitement in your life, you don't have to ride a roller coaster to get it. How about you throw your hands up completely in the air, surrender your life to God, and watch how He moves in your life. Just like that coaster. Devil, you're not keeping me down. Amen? So whatever fear you may be facing today, whether facing sickness, fear of failure, fear of being inadequate, fear of what others might think about us, fear of sharing the love of Jesus Christ to others, I challenge you today to throw your hands up in the air, submit to God, and like the song says, I surrender all. I won't sing. I surrender all. Okay, a little bit. What an adventure God has put me on since I surrendered my life to Him. You know, I look back, I'm like, wow, I was there, I'm here. I mean, there's been hills and valleys. There's been good times and bad, but you know what? Even through the valleys and the bad times, God was with me, you know? He never promised us a rose garden, right? So whatever fear you may be facing today, whether facing sickness, I just read that. But I'm not afraid to mess up, all right? Might need my glasses, though. Let's talk about Peter, okay? Peter is one of my favorite persons in the Bible. I just love his sense of humor and his boldness. Yeah, he messed up at times just like I just did. But guess what? We all mess up. I can really relate to Peter. Peter surrendered all to Jesus. When many of Jesus' followers were abandoning him, Peter made a bold declaration. Let's turn with me to John 6, verse 66 through 69. Now, Jesus had just given a hard teaching here. It says here, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You know, maybe the fear of being associated with Jesus stopped them. Oh, no, I'm not with him. You do not want to leave too. Jesus asked the 12, you want to leave too? They all left me. Simon Peter, I love this answer. He answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to know and believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Peter knew there was no turning back as far as he was concerned. Why would anyone want to turn back and go back to their old way of life? I just don't get it. I'm not going back. I'm pressing ahead. No matter what fears we face, we got to press forward and do what God's called us to do. You know, people are counting on us. You don't want to, Esther was sharing a story today how she saw some old friends and they couldn't believe the countenance of Fred. I guess Fred used to be a real sourpuss. I don't know. I was just saying. But they said, your husband, he's glowing. He's got this look. He's just joyful. That misunderstood. But that's the Fred I've known and loved all these years. But I didn't know Fred back in the bad days. I don't think I wanted to. Might be a little intimidated. But you know what? One fear I would be afraid of, I'd be afraid to go back to my old way of life without God. Roll the dice? No thanks. You know, and when Jesus was walking on the rough seas, Peter didn't let fear stop him from getting on a boat to go meet Jesus, did he? You know, I wonder what the other disciples were saying as he was about to step into the deep waters. Here's Jesus on the seas, and it's all rough and this and that. Peter, hey, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come on out. So he starts to put his foot out. Can you imagine what the other disciples must be saying? Whoa, hey, what are you doing there? You nuts, you crazy, you're going to drown. Right? Did it stop him? No. He did a couple steps before he got a little scared, but it's more than they did, right? You know, but how many of us, like the other disciples, just want to stay right where we're at, in our own little comfort zone, and not take any chances? No risk, no reward is what they say in the world. Finances. Well, Pastor Don's not here, so I can give this quote, because he'll know who it is. Never let the fear of striking out keep you from playing the game. You know who said that? Babe Ruth. You know, greatest home run hitter for decades and decades without performance-enhancing drugs, must say. But did you know also he was one of the greatest strikeout hitters of all time, too? You know, he swung for the fences. You know, hey, there's people I talk to about the Lord, and they're really receptive. And there's people that stone cold shut me down. You know? But you know what? I don't care. It's not me they're shutting down. It's Jesus Christ. So, let me translate that about never let the fear of striking out keep you from playing the game. Don't let fear stop you from becoming all you can be in Christ Jesus. God wants to use you, but in order to be used by God, you got to step up to that plate. Don't be scared. Amen? You know, what would happen if we as a church would stop giving in to our fears and instead trust in God when fear comes at us? Maybe this church would be packed out. Amen? Let's go back to the story of David and Goliath. 1 Samuel 17, 48 through 41. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword, drew it from its sheath, and after he killed him, cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. The enemy fled, just like he'll flee from you and I when, as I said earlier, you submit yourself to God, resist the devil, or push back against him in that fear and intimidation, and he'll have to leave. He'll have to run. Now, I wonder what the enemy says about us when we overcome fear. Oh, man, look at so-and-so. He's not afraid of that thought I planted in his head of what people think about him anymore. He's crazy. He doesn't care what people think anymore. He's telling people about the love of God. Or look at her. She's speaking about God in public in front of 200 people. What happened to that fear, that seed of fear and doubt I planted in her when she was just a little girl? You mean she overcame that? Or what's going on over here with this guy? Just a year ago, I had him so afraid, he nearly took his own life. Now he's running a Bible study of how to overcome fear? That wasn't in my plans. Church, my question to you today is this. Are you going to let fear stop you from fulfilling your destiny in Christ? God is counting on us to press ahead, move forward, be all that we can be. He wants to use you, for sure. But he can't use you if fear is going to stop you. It's okay to feel fear. Even Jesus felt fear the night before he was going to be beaten, mocked, finally nailed to the cross, as we talked about during communion, for your sins and mine. Luke 22:42-44. On that fateful night before he was to be crucified, Jesus was praying in the garden. He says, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, let yours be done." It says an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. It says his sweat fell like drops of blood to the ground. Jesus, knowing what was about to happen, was feeling a great deal of fear. So much so that he was sweating blood. Is that even possible? Well, actually it is. There's a condition called hemochondrosis, in which the capillary blood vessels that feed sweat glands rupture, causing them to exude blood, occurring under circumstances of extreme physical or emotional stress. It's an actual thing. Jesus felt fear, but guess what? That fear didn't stop him from fulfilling his destiny. He completed his mission on earth, praise God, because of his love for the Father and his love for each and every one of us. You know, I know we all suffer from a variety of fears, but none of us here today have had experienced the fear of losing our life just for being a follower of Christ, have we? Gloria, you want to show that picture? It's a very famous picture. These guys were from they were Christians, and they were lined up on the beach by ISIS. And at the bottom it says, "The people of the cross, the followers of the hostile Egyptian church." Yeah, they were hostile. They went around telling people, "Jesus loves you. He has a plan for your life." That was considered hostility. Well, these men here, they're our brothers in Christ. They knew that earth was their temporary home, but they overcame even the fear of death they felt and knew in a matter of moments they would be with the Lord in heaven. What courage! What bravery! These men went to their graves professing Jesus Christ as Lord. They refused to deny their Lord and Savior and bow down to a false god. They did all that, and yet at times we don't even share our faith because with people that God puts in our path because we're afraid of what they might think of us. I'm guilty. I don't share my faith to everybody, and I've blown it at times. Then I repent and say, "Lord, give me another chance. Give me an opportunity to share your love, even if it offends them. I'd rather offend somebody and see them in heaven one day then keep my mouth shut, and they won't end up in heaven. God knows we're going to face fear. In fact, more than any other command in Scripture, God tells us not to fear. When Joshua took over for Moses, in the very first chapter of Joshua, God tells him three times, be strong and courageous. Three times in the first chapter, I think he's sending a message. He knew Joshua was going to be facing a lot of fear. God was preparing Joshua. And God is preparing you too. You could beat that fear, whatever it is, with His help. You know, I did a little research here. It says this, according to most studies, people's number one fear is public speaking. Number two is death. Death is number two? According to some studies. Back in the fall of 1983, before some of you young guns were born, Joe, my very first class in college was a speech class. You know, I didn't even know I had a fear of public speaking until I had to get up in front of the class. Bob, do you think that God was preparing me for something down the line, or was it just a coincidence? God can and will help us overcome every type of fear we may face. We just need to call out to Him and trust Him, right? Put our trust in Him, not in ourselves. I couldn't do that speech class. My knees were knocking. My mouth got dry. I got sweaty. I was nervous in front of 10 people. Well, whatever fear you're facing, and you know, whether they're real fears and unreal fears, I'm going to close with a story that I'd like to share. It happened years ago. My daughter, Alex, was just a little girl. We were on vacation in Arizona. It was 100 degrees out in the morning. So we're going to take my daughter and my nephew Miguel on a walk. Great idea, right? In the desert. So behind my mother-in-law is this big hill. So we're going to walk around the hill and, you know, take a little walk. And boy, we're walking and we go for about a mile and we're dying of thirst. It's so hot. It's like, oh. So then we walk around to the other part of the hill. We start going up the hill. I said, Christy, you sit here with the kids under this tree. You know, drink some water out of that person's spigot. They did. And I'm going to go to the top of the hill, which is about 300 yards up, to see if there's a path to come down, because it would be a lot quicker to go up and come down than go back all the way back around that hill. She said, okay, that sounds like a good idea. Now, at the time, you know, they sit down, and I see this old Sanford & Son truck driving past me with two, I hate to say it, shady-looking guys. They look like me. And this was, these houses were multi-million-dollar homes. And I just looked, I go, it ain't trash day. It's okay. So they're just driving around. I left Christy and the kids there on the side of the grass there under a tree. I'm walking to the top of the hill, and I'm like, holy smokes, this is hard. Getting hot. Ugh. So I get up to the top. I look over. I'm like, oh, there's no trail. There's no road. We got to go all the way back around. Just then, I look back down, and I could see my wife and the kids sitting there. That red truck had came back out of the subdivision and pulled over, like, right by them. I'm 300 yards away, and all the first thought in my mind is run. And as I started running, I said, Lord, help me. I didn't know what was going to happen. I had fear. I'm running as fast as I can, and by the time I just about get down there, the truck with the two guys took off. So I'm happy and this and that. My wife says to me, she says, who was the guy that was running with you? I says, what are you talking about? She goes, there was a guy about a foot taller than you running next to you, big guy. Well, I'm 6 foot one. I go, what are you doing, 7 foot? She goes, yeah, it's a big old guy. What happened? Where did he go? Who was that? I said, honey, I don't know. And then it clicked. I said, God sent an angel. Because I cried out to Him in fear of my wife and my family. Amen. So God is with you. That's the first and only time I know of entertaining angels. And I thank God for that. Amen. I want to close. I got a song here that really ministered to me. And so I'd like to play this song. And I love it. So I hope you do too.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, I won't be shaken, no, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. She no longer has a place to hide.
I hope it blessed you like it blessed me. I have the prayer team come forward, please. All right. You're here today and you're facing fear and it's just been gripping you. I challenge you to come on up, have these people pray for you. And, you know, God wants us to have the victory over that prayer. Amen. You know, maybe you don't know the Lord or you've walked away for a season. He wants to get reacquainted with you. Amen. So come on up, feel free, and we're just going to pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for today, Lord. We thank you that you give us the power to overcome fear, Lord God, that you are worthy, Lord. I pray your blessing on each and every person here. Anoint this prayer team here, Father. We give you all the glory. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.